WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. The chief exec of Norfolk Southern Railway will appear before a Senate committee next week to talk about the toxic train derailment. There's a bipartisan push for legislation.
It would enhance safety precautions for trains carrying hazardous material, like requiring that wheels be scanned for heat every 10 miles, mandate a two-person crew, authorize $27 million for research on safety improvements, and increase fines for those who break the rules. It's unclear when exactly this will come up for a vote, but there is a growing number of Democrats and Republicans who say they support this, and the White House is making it clear that the president is behind it as well.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The jury in Walterboro, South Carolina, deliberated about 3 hours before convicting prominent attorney Alex Murdaugh of the murders of his wife and son.
Guilty verdict.
He'll get a mandatory 30 years to life sentence today. The SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule docked with the International Space Station. 4 new crew members beginning a 6-month stay at the orbital outpost. This is ABC News. California U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein is hospitalized there with shingles. The 89-year-old hopes to return to the Senate later this month. It's the nation's capital, but Washington, D.C. is still a city where all major decisions are the responsibility of Congress, lawmakers having none of D.C.'s plan for a less harsh criminal code. President Biden said he won't stand in the way of quashing the plan. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
The mayor actually disagreed with what the D.C. Council put forward, and so now this is an opportunity to protect the community. That's the way the president sees this, to protect the community.
A major discovery in Egypt.
A 9-meter-long tunnel has been uncovered in the Pyramid of Khufu, the largest of Giza's pyramids. It's all part of the Scan Pyramid Project, a group that maps the interiors of the ancient structures. We don't really know what the corridor was used for, though experts say it could lead to more undiscovered parts of the pyramid. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our program. On the line with us, Catherine Lewandowski. Catherine is the Whole Washington Board Vice Chair and the One Payer States Treasurer. WholeWashington.org, OnePayerStates.org, the two websites. Also, those are the Twitter handles. And then there's Catherine Lewandowski, number one. Catherine, welcome to the program. Tell us about achieving a universal health care program state by state, the work that you guys are doing.
Sure, and I want to say thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Whole Washington really appreciates it. I am a registered nurse here in Washington, and I work with a group called Whole Washington. And so we are working on trying to get a state-level nonprofit healthcare plan passed here in Washington. And we get really frustrated with our elected officials, especially our federal elected officials, that say we can't do this at the state level without getting federal permission first. And honestly, we just can't really wait for the federal government to be doing this, because our federal government's not very functional, especially currently. And so allowing this unchecked for-profit healthcare system to continue is just not acceptable to anybody in Whole Washington and the people that I work with, and especially one-payer states. They've also been doing this work trying to help states do this state by state. Yeah. So basically, we're left with going around them in order to develop a more just and cost-effective healthcare system. And we agree that it's not the best way to have to do it, and it could be done better federally, but it's the hand we've been dealt. And for us, propping up our current system with further subsidies to for-profit entities whom we have no obligation to support or do nothing at all is just unacceptable. So probably the biggest argument about a single-payer plan at the state level is that we can't get around the ERISA laws. And where it's true that we can't require a company to give up their current health care or retirement benefits, we can make it optional, and we can offer a better plan for them. So that's how we address this, by allowing them to keep their plan. But we're going to make our plan the most cost-effective plan out there. So we can't force them. I'm sorry, go ahead. You have a question?
A friend of mine was the HHS secretary for the state of Vermont when they passed a single-payer health care plan there. And the problem that they ran into, if I'm recalling and understanding correctly, was that because of the constraints built into the original Medicare and Medicaid legislation back in 1965, that money can only flow... You know, there have to be individuals connected to it. It didn't contemplate, Medicaid has, I guess, been more block granted, but Medicare in particular, that money was not contemplated to go to the states for redistribution. It was to go directly to the individuals. And therefore, all of the people on Medicare in Vermont would not have, all that money would have ceased coming into the state, and yet the people on Medicare would still require services, and it would have just bankrupted the state. And so the solution to that was getting a waiver of some sort from the federal government. Is this, am I making sense at all here, Catherine?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So and how do you so get around that, this?
Well, it's time intensive, but it's doable. So initially, our plan, one, it's a true public option. And so people can enroll in it. Anybody can enroll in it. They don't have to qualify at a certain income level. Anybody can enroll in it. And then once 51% of the state is in, then it becomes a mandatory still with a transition plan. But for Medicare in particular, it initially starts out as a secondary plan, as a supplemental plan.
As a Medigap plan, essentially.
Yes, as a Medigap plan. Once it's actually voted in, or once it's actually instituted, then the trust board would then apply to become, where right now people could opt in to it, right, as a supplemental. And then we would apply to be a Medicare Advantage plan. Once we became a Medicare Advantage plan, then we would not have to be just paying secondarily.
Oh, that's interesting.
We would receive that black money, and then it would become part of the pool, and it would be managed by the state. And at the same time, basically, we would also be applying for one of those 1332 waivers to enroll all of our Medicare recipients, and then all of the money would flow into it. But, you know, if we never got that, we would just stay a Medicare Advantage plan.
Sure.
And if we weren't able to qualify for that, we would just stay as a supplemental plan, the most cost-effective supplemental plan out there because it's for-profit.
That's great. So what's the status of this with regard to the Washington State Legislature?
Or I should say it's not for-profit, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, it's been blocked. We've had it in the legislature three times now. Three separate bills, so 6 years, going on the 6 years. And it still is being refused to get a hearing at the health care.
Is that because of Republican obstruction or because of sellout Democrats?
We have a Democratic trifecta in our state.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yes.
So you've got some sellout Democrats is the problem. They're taking money from the health insurance industry.
Yes, and they don't like us making that known.
Yeah, well, we saw that here in Oregon with Kurt Schrader, you know, and when it got publicized, he was taking all this money from the health insurance industry and the big pharma. Big pharma, in particular, was his thing, because he voted against the $35 insulin, and the voters just bounced him out of office. it didn't work out super well because he got replaced by a Republican, you know, who's taking the same positions. But
but that's one of the things that kind of frustrates me about some of our politicians, because I think they feel that they need to take this money from the for-profit entities that control our healthcare system. And yet, looking at Premier Jayapal, she, you know, has done so much for moving along Medicare for All nationally, and she hasn't endorsed us, which we really wish that she would. But let me tell you, she wins by huge margins.
Yeah.
So I just want to tell those politicians out there that if you start siding with the people, especially in regards to healthcare, you don't need to take that money.
Yeah.
That dirt money. Dirty
money. It's absolutely true. If you're willing to have the courage of your convictions and speak up, people will support you. You just have to, the challenge is breaking through and letting people know and getting a mailing list that you can use to raise money. But I think Bernie Sanders really proved that, you know, a decade ago. And now increasingly, you know, and back then the whole Progressive Caucus was only a dozen or so people. Now it's over 100. I mean, you know, it's growing. So that's great. So what can people, we're talking with Catherine Lewandowski. She's a registered nurse and the board vice chair of Whole Washington and the treasurer of One Payer States, wholewashington.org, onepayerstates.org, and working on bringing single payer to the state of Washington. And it would be so cool if you guys could just kind of lead the pack and set an example for the nation, like the Pacific Northwest has done with vote by mail, you know, for decades now. So what can people who are in Washington do to help and support you? And what can people who are most of our audience is not in Washington State. What can they do to help and support what you're doing or replicate it in their own states?
Oh, definitely trying to replicate it in your own states, I think, is awesome. Also, we are all volunteer. We're currently hoping to hire an executive director, and all that's being worked on right now. But we need money, you know, and we just need like people to give us $5 and share it with five of your friends. We need to be able to get out into the network more,
right.
Not just the people. Like the thing is, I think most people go through life, especially in their young middle years, they feel that they're invincible and they don't feel like they need health insurance. And it's very few people that do need that, and yet they take up a huge amount of what we spend. Right. You know, and we really don't need to spend that much. If we can spend a whole lot less.
Right. So I've got two URLs here, two websites that I've mentioned several times. Is one in particular where you would like to focus? It seems like just pushing out one would be more effective.
Oh, I would say wholewashington.org.
Okay. Wholewashington.org. And
because I really feel we are almost there. Although I would like to say too that I really feel like this is probably going to be passed by a ballot initiative. But I really wish that it could get a hearing because, we had a lot of healthcare people work on this bill. But what I see in the legislature is there's a lot of going back and forth and making amendments and making improvements. And we're not able to have that.
I get it. Catherine, I'm sorry, we're out of time, but I get it. Wholewashington.org. Hang on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Catherine Lewandowski. Catherine, thanks so much for dropping by. It's great talking with you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
We'll be right back at 16 minutes past the hour.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for, with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join a million of people who use Capterra. Capterra.
calling your Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. So, Congressman Adam Schiff, who, by the way, is running for Dianne Feinstein's seat in the United States Senate from California, Congressman Adam Schiff has come out and said it's time to expand the court. And he is introducing legislation to do that into the House of Representatives. Good on you, Adam Schiff. He says, let's be very clear. The effort to deny tens of millions of people relief from student debt is a project engineered by far-right billionaires and dark money groups and put before a rigged right-wing Supreme Court majority, and they must be stopped. Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump gamed the system and stacked the court, and that's why we need to unstack it. I'm authoring legislation to expand the number of Supreme Court justices and supporting legislation to impose term limits and restore balance to the court. Mitch McConnell stole two Supreme Court seats and embarked on a mission to overturn legal precedents on abortion rights, gun safety, privacy, and climate change. Now they want to deny debt relief to tens of millions of Americans. And you know, it goes on from there, but I'm sure you could learn all about it on his website, which is probably Schiff, schiff.house.gov. That's typically the format that they use. Good on you, Adam Schiff. And, you know, wouldn't it be cool to see this kind of thing happening all across the country? So that's happening. And also we have a geeky science for you today. I wrote about this back in 1996 in the last hours of Ancient Sunlight. We updated it in, I don't know, 2010 or thereabouts. But I was writing about trees. You know, you would tend to think that a lake would evaporate a lot of water. And, you know, they do. I mean, more or less. I grew up in Michigan and we had this thing called lake effect. And, you know, the winds would come off the Midwest and they would go over Lake Michigan and they'd pick up moisture. And that's why Michigan is cloudy more than half the year. I got my pilot's license in 72. And, you know, if you're only going to fly visual flight rules, VFR, you can only fly on half the days of the year in Michigan. The rest of the year, you've got to be able to fly inside a cloud, which is called instrument flight rules or IFR. So, you know, so there is some evaporation from a lake, a particularly big lake like Lake Michigan. But there's actually far more evaporation from a forest. Same square miles of forest versus the same square miles of lake. The forest will evaporate, you know, two, three, to some cases 10 times as much water as the lake. And the reason why is because the forest, all this water is being sucked up through the roots, through the trunk of the tree, into the leaves. And then the leaves are exposed to the sunlight and they're all separate from each other and there's wind blowing by them, so the moisture evaporates out of the leaves really, really fast compared to the surface of a lake, which is typically cold and it's kind of solid and there's not that, you know, there's frankly not that much evaporation from lakes. So, you know, this is just kind of common sense when you think about it. And I also wrote in my book about the history of Iraq. Iraq, back at the time of Gilgamesh, now this was 6,000 years ago, probably more like 4,000 years ago. They used to think it was 6,000 years ago. Back in that era, Iraq was part of the Cedars of Lebanon. I mean, it was forested. It was covered with forest. And Gilgamesh, one of the first things he did was he went out and he chopped down the forest to build this mighty city of Ur, which is now called Baghdad. And or Uruk, I guess it was called. And when he did this, the mythology, if you read the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is the oldest known story in Western civilization, the Epic of Gilgamesh tells a story about how when Gilgamesh wanted to cut the forest to build his city, he had to take on the god of the forests, whose name was Humbuba. And the god of the forest did not want the forest to be cut, and so Gilgamesh cut off his head, beheaded him, and then cut down the forest and build his city. And this pissed off Humbuba's boss, who was the god of all the gods. His name was Enlil. And so Enlil cursed the Iraqi people, or back then they were Sumerian people. He cursed them by making their land unproductive. In other words, their crops stopped growing. And turning what was once a rich forested land into a desert. And sure enough, that's most of Iraq now. It's desert because they cut out all the trees. And what happened when they cut the trees is they stopped all the downwind rainfall. and the downwind rainfall was keeping it all green and alive, and it turned into savanna, basically, and high desert. Well, this new study, this was just done, it was published in the journal Nature yesterday, and they used satellite observations over the last three decades to look at climate change and see the effect of deforestation, if it was the same as predicted by computer models. And sure enough, it was. The most acute right now is in the Congo Basin, but they're also looking at the Amazon. And what they point out is that deforestation driven by commodity crops like palm oil and soy, cattle pasture, and timber exploitation threatens to worsen climate change, but mostly it's creating drought. The crop yields downwind are declining because of the lack of forest cover. Their increased dryness increases the risk of fires, which further makes the land barren. And in the Amazon Basin, forest destruction is pushing the tropical forest toward a tipping point where it will shift from being jungle to being a savanna-like state, as you see across, you know, most of North Africa now. A large part of it is, or some part of it anyway, is the result of human deforestation over the last 10, 20,000 years. So, you know, a cautionary tale, shall we say, from this new study published in Nature. So what's on your mind? We've covered an awful lot of territory today. I will pick up your calls right after this break at the bottom of the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Right back with your thoughts after this. It's 27 minutes past the hour. Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with no ads by going to HartmanReport.com. I cover topics from climate to Congress to politics to the law, as well as social and health issues. You can find it all at HartmanReport.com. Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With 20-plus years of experience combined with new tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. Angie has the experts you need, whether it's your first repair, your first renovation project, or upgrading your home before you sell. Angie is your personal home expert with 150 million-plus customers served to date. Angie provides new digital tools and innovative solutions to make it easier than ever to get that home project done right. We recently sprung a leak on our roof. The free Angie mobile app came to our rescue. Now it's being fixed. Angie gets the stress that home projects can cause. They make tackling home service projects a breeze from start to finish. Plus, they have upfront project pricing, so you'll know what you'll pay before you start. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Angie.com. That's Angie.com. Explore the mighty Columbia and Snake Rivers with American Cruise Lines. Visit the scenic landscapes of stunning Multnomah Falls and Mount St. Helens. Retrace the historic steps of explorers Lewis and Clark as you cruise the Columbia River Gorge aboard the newest fleet of American riverboats. Relax in your private balcony while the crew provides you with the highest level of personalized service, all waiting for you to experience. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's American.
WAUK. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. The chief exec of Norfolk Southern Railway will appear before a Senate committee next week to talk about the toxic train derailment. There's a bipartisan push for legislation.
It would enhance safety precautions for trains carrying hazardous material, like requiring that wheels be scanned for heat every 10 miles, mandate a two-person crew, authorize $27 million for research on safety improvements, and increase fines for those who break the rules. It's unclear when exactly this will come up for a vote, but there is a growing number of Democrats and Republicans who say they support this, and the White House is making it clear that the president is behind it as well.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The jury in Walterboro, South Carolina, deliberated about 3 hours before convicting prominent attorney Alex Murdaugh of the murders of his wife and son.
Guilty verdict.
He'll get a mandatory 30 years to life sentence today. The SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule docked with the International Space Station. 4 new crew members beginning a 6-month stay at the orbital outpost. This is ABC News.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Jean of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, "That's rad." It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, "I totes love going to the mall with Becca." Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, "Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case."
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on SiriusXM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like taking a call on a train or bus on speaker for everyone to hear. I mean, you don't know who has access to your most private sensitive information. Here's why I use ExpressVPN. Internet service providers now, because Donald Trump ended net neutrality, which made your activity private, now they know every single website you visit. They can track it, they can record it, and they can legally sell it, only in the United States, to any ad company, tech giant, or whoever they want, who then use your data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so people can't peep on your online activity. Just fire up the app and click one button. It works on phones, laptops, even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Secure your online activity today at expressvpn.com/Tom, and you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/THOM, expressvpn.com/Tom. All righty, let's have a conversation here. What's going on? Ken in Tampa, Florida. Hey, Ken, thanks for listening to WMNF. What's up?
Hey, Tom. Thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for everything you do.
It is a pleasure.
At any rate, all your callers and listeners have I've got so many things going on, I almost forget what I called for. But what I really called for was to thank you for bringing up the Comey Hillary thing. And the day I heard that, I think I was on the way to work, and my stomach dropped through the floor of the car, I think. I knew with that announcement that we had just lost.
Right.
You know, the right side of my brain kept hopes up that I could talk some of those idiots into not voting for Trump, but at that point, I just knew it. He blew it. Yeah. He didn't have to make that announcement.
No, but I think the FBI loved Trump, or at least, the senior management of the FBI loved Trump.
Yeah. And another thing that comes along the same kind of idea is Giuliani. Giuliani was praised for many times, and we're way outdated now. But anyway, he was mayor of New York before the towers fell.
Mm-hmm.
His job as mayor, part of his job as mayor, was to make sure that things ran correctly and smoothly and uniformly, etc. Well, he was responsible then for making sure that the radios of the police matched the radios of the fire department, and we wouldn't have had such a big fiasco if he had done his job properly. But nobody ever seems to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, then again, he doesn't matter much anymore, but...
Yeah, no, he doesn't. And he Rudy Giuliani, I mean, people in New York knew who Rudy was. He was a blowhard. And he was not, he was really in politically, he was in a crisis before 9/11. 9/11 saved his butt. At least with regard to New York politics, there was a whole crisis going on around his second or third wife. He was cheating on with another woman, and he announced that he was leaving her before telling her. He announced it on television. And,
oh God!
And,
really?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Really? Yeah. He did a press availability with the media, and somebody asked him about it. He said, "Yeah, I'm going to leave my wife," and his wife didn't know this, and she was like, "Really?" And I mean, it was like that. That was just a little bit before 9/11, so he was in deep trouble. I think he was. I used to think he was, sliding into dementia. I think he's just been a con man his whole entire life, and it's just becoming obvious. A not particularly bright con man, just a very kind of politically sly person, but, kind of like Marjorie Taylor Greene, not very bright, but they know how to manipulate people politically. Ken, I got to move on, but thanks. That was great comments. Thank you. James in Baptist Town, New Jersey. Hey, James, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. First time I called you, you heard my voice, and I asked you about when the soul entered the body, and you went, but I was not that type of caller. But anyway, I've never understood why can't they use the Eighth Amendment to argue cruel punishment. I know it says cruel and unusual, and they try to make it unusual, but not unusual. So why has that never been used?
With regard to abortion?
Yes. I mean, what's more cruel than condemning a woman to 18 years of, being reminded of a rape every day? So anyway, that's my question. I'll take it off air. Thank you.
Well, thank you, James. It's good to hear from you, and a good first call. I don't have an easy answer for that one. I think that that's probably... I mean, they're talking about punishment handed down by courts for crimes. And I think that's probably different than what's going on. Although, I think you might be able to argue that some of the things that they're... I don't know. I don't think that would fly, but I understand your sentiment, and I don't disagree with it. James, thank you for the call. From James to James. This James is in Chicago. Hey, James, thanks for listening to SiriusXM. What's up?
How you doing, Tom?
Good.
Long time no hear from. You might recall a long time ago, a couple of times I called you, and it made me very happy that this morning you started the show, pretty much speaking to what I refer to as the con, where, the right wing, to nutshell it all, has basically, they've made a whole bunch of different processes that stem from the basic act of scapegoating minorities and gays and immigrants, and it's industrialized to an industrialized scale today.
Yeah,
since Reagan, which was nice of you to speak to.
Yeah, it's a Southern strategy on steroids.
Right on. I thought, come in as a child. I was 7, 8 years old. when I saw Reagan coming to power and couldn't believe how so much of white America was being snowed. And, you know, basically from then to now, you nutshell it all yourself by speaking this morning to how the con has worked to obliterate the middle class. And if anyone was hurt by it all, it was not minorities, but, you know, so sad to see that whites, the majority of folks being taken advantage of and losing, you know, their family wealth and the opportunities they could have had to build family wealth. What I'd like to speak to is how few of, you know, fine white folks like yourself, I'm hearing this from in the media. I do know, I do understand that it is becoming a little bit more noticeable in, you know, in radio media and television media. But I wonder when I'm going to hear that kind of language finally come out of Congress, you know?
Yeah. There are some good members of Congress who speak like that, James, but there are certainly not enough of them, and the media tends to ignore them.
Well, you know, it's really hurtful as a black person to hear it only from minorities or only from gays or immigrants.
Right.
And, you know, you don't hear it in the press so much from let's say straight white people.
Yeah.
It was not long after the beginning of the Obama administration where I recall Rachel Maddow was a guest on the David Letterman show, and she put it straight. She said, well, what the Republican Party is doing, what I expected, what she expected, was to pretty much start the job of scapegoating black people. And I could not believe what I was hearing on television. Yeah. Like, what seemed to be the first time from a white person.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Although a lesbian. I mean, you know, she has her own experience of being a discriminated against minority. But she's absolutely right. And Rachel Maddow's, you know, we used to work together at Air America, and I have
I remember.
Insanely high level of respect for Rachel Maddow. That said, I think that most white people, most straight white people, people like me, are just, you know, quite comfortable to live with their privilege and ignore it. I mean, this, the number one benefit, I don't think this is said enough, and I don't think it can be said enough, frankly, because it needs to sink into the white people who might be listening. The number one advantage that you have as a straight white person is that you don't have to think about the fact that you're straight or that you're white. Because that's the norm in society. That's what society is organized around, this American society that has always been a white supremacist, straight male supremacist society. And so it's easy to just ignore the plight of women, the plight of minorities, the plight of gender minorities and racial minorities and religious minorities, too. I should, you know, throw the word Christian in there, too, as, you know, as a straight white Christian male in particular. I know this from my own experience, James. I mean, it wasn't until I was in my 50s that I really realized, that I really got a in my gut understanding of what my own white privilege meant, you know, how important it had been to all the successes that I'd had in my life. And I think that probably a very large percentage of white people, it just literally never even occurs to them. And they hear discussions about privilege and they think, you know, it's like somebody speaking Greek to them. They just don't understand the language. Go ahead.
If I can, I'm going to leave, you know, I'm trying to frame a question.
Sure.
I don't want this to be confused with, you know, white guilt or white privilege necessarily so much as an untapped resource for elected officials at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
To speak as a white person to a white base, or to a white untapped base, or to a white, you know, gross of unregistered voters,
right.
You know, to mobilize folks based on sheer numbers of things that economical things, you know, matters beyond race, matters that are table, you know, kitchen table matters, which they should be concerned about. Where they can plainly state, you know, a white elected official that the white masses are more inclined to give an ear to if they should say, hey, white people, the Republican Party is taking advantage of the gullibility of white people.
Right.
You know, and this is what you need to look out for. And this is why you need to get registered. And this is why you need to mobilize and vote at every level. If we can hear that for the first time from a white elected official, that would be nice. Do you think, do you think this might be up and coming sometime soon?
I absolutely agree, James. And I think that increasingly you're hearing white politicians take that position. It is, you know, the key to this whole thing in my mind is education. I mean, this is why Ron DeSantis doesn't want black history taught in Florida schools. Because, you know, he doesn't want white people to realize what their privilege is and therefore want to do something about, you know, fixing the situation. But, you know, I'm hopeful, James, like you, that you know, more of this can happen. James, thank you for the call.
To Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
46 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls right after this. Going to bed at a decent hour didn't always mean I got enough sleep. Often I was either too hot, too cold, just not comfortable. That changed with my Cozy Earth bedding, the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding on the planet. Cozy Earth bedding is naturally temperature regulating, so Louise and I sleep great in any weather. And we're not alone. Like this 5-star review from Laura, quote, "My husband and I are getting the best sleep we've ever had, to the point where we don't wake up in the middle of the night because we're so comfortable. I can't wait to buy more colors." Cozy Earth bedding is made from the finest materials, including premium viscose, made from highly sustainable bamboo. And Cozy Earth is the brand that made Oprah's favorite things 5 years in a row. Whether it's their luxury sheets, available in 5 awesome colors, loungewear, pajamas, or premium waffle bath towels, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. Go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, and save 35%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Tom, T-H-O-M. Louise and I love this bedding, and you will too. CozyEarth.com. Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, How Big Business Destroyed the American Dream. And next spring, you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I read the exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. You know the importance of a high-protein diet for your dog? Dogs are omnivores, so it's imperative that they get enough protein in every meal. Many of the mass-produced dog foods, especially the dry dog foods, may lack the essential protein and the healthy fats that your dog needs for optimal health. So, introducing Dynavite's Meal Booster. It's a freeze-dried meal topper that is loaded with protein and omegas. You just sprinkle it on top of your pet's food for a delicious taste, packed with essential nutrients that can help support a healthy skin and coat, gut health, and your dog's immune system. These toppers help our dogs, Blue and Chewy, get all the nutrients they need to be healthier and full of life, and they absolutely go nuts. They love this stuff. Dynavite is so confident that your pet will benefit from their products like our dogs have. They offer a 90-day risk-free trial on your first purchase, so you have nothing to lose. Go to Dynavite.com today. That's D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.com, Dynavite.com. And check out, by the way, they have more than just the meal booster on their website. Dynavite.com. Terms apply. See the site for details. 52 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Picking up your calls here. Sarah in San Rafael, California. Hey, Sarah, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Professor. Well, I just had a call because I'm glad I called after that English teacher and getting some background on what you were talking about, like Amelia Earhart and everything like that, and how gender roles influence people as far as their, you know, who they are and who they want to be. I'm going to be 75 in April. I've been a female essence in a male body since I was born. You know, it's just like, and I tried transitioning back in 80, 81, but I had problems with the drugs. It never goes away. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of us that are just, you know, I mean, if you just look at life, like as far as like what's around you and everything like that, but even the Christians or any of these religious things, that's what really gets me. It's like, you're more than your physical being. You're the essence. I don't like calling it soul or anything like that because that's a number. And I think that makes a really big difference in who you are. I mean, that is who you are.
Yeah, Sarah, if I may ask a personal question, and feel free to tell me it's none of my damn business, but I'm curious, how old were you when you knew, even though you were born in a male body, that you were female? I mean, I'll tell you my own experience. I was probably 6 or 7. In fact, I remember my 7th birthday, I invited this one girl, along with all my male friends, to my birthday party, and it was a terribly embarrassing thing for her. And that was when I really started getting aware of gender differences and what my gender was, although obviously I'd been aware of it before. But it was clear to me that it was always clear to me I was a boy. If you don't mind, what was your experience?
No, I don't mind, because it's an interesting question. I hear people's rebuttal for this on some of the other people. At 10 years old, when I started knowing the difference between, you know, boys and girls, it kind of answered why I wanted my Raggedy Ann doll so bad, why I wanted my Susie Homemaker, why I liked my...
Sorry, you can't use that language on the air, but Sean, please.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, and I figured it out. You know, and that explains where I think a lot of people also come from when I hear, like, you know, I knew at 3 years old. Well, but I don't think you realize it at 3 years old. You realize it later on, your actions at 3 years old, what they were really indicating.
Right.
And I've always been, quote, when I had my secret identity as a male, I was always a feminine male, which goes to the gender identity, like the roles that are out there. You know, you can be a feminine man, you can be a masculine female. I mean, you know, getting involved in, like, industries and everything, who you are there, but, you know, who you are inside until you look in the mirror and get to see that your essence has synced up with your body. That's why there's such a drive for us. I mean, it's like, it doesn't end. I mean, like I say, I'm 75, and I'm still, you know, who I am. I don't have any regrets, and just like my sister in Florida, I am so happy for her.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just had it, my 10 cents.
That's wonderful, Sarah. Thank you for sharing that story. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Jack in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Hey, Jack, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the verbiage that the Democrats are using. It's all being controlled by the Republicans. This four-letter W word that they use. I saw the other day what the word really meant, but what the Republicans are meaning is cancel culture. Mm-hmm. Well, I got news for him. Cancel culture started with Gingrich.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
really. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead, please.
There's a great quote over at the top of Democratic Underground right now in their graphic, and it's a quote from Senator Sheldon Whitehouse from 2 days ago. He said, Republicans are relying on a new magic word. That word is woke. Call everything woke and then try to cut its funding seems to be the strategy. Housing? Woke. Chop it in half. Public schools and job training? Woke. Slash it. Auditing tax cheats? Woke. Let's not do that. Fighting climate change? Woke. None of that. Healthy food for kids and families? Woke. I think you're right. I mean, it used to be liberal that they swore at us with. Now it's woke. So.
Can I just be real quick? This word sunset, that means something beautiful at the end of the day.
Yeah, and they're trying to use that to destroy Social Security and Medicare. You're absolutely right. Jack, I'm sorry I'm out of time, but you're excellent point. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. In the meantime, don't forget democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us, you, me, our friends and neighbors, our acquaintances. Make sure you're registered to vote. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
Been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.